darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment, let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to this Monday evening edition of the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. I'm down one J, but I'm still strong one other J. Mr. Reed is on my right as Mr. Tross and his wife Cheryl are still enjoying their time with their newborn baby. So, of course, we celebrate his time off with his family. And I have to tell you, if you were not in Tupelo, Mississippi this last weekend, and I hate to rub it in, but you missed a great time. You know, sometimes you have an event that happens and it's like, oh, don't rub it in, it wasn't there. I'm sorry. It was a fantastic time. Many of the listeners to this program in particular, to the Urban Family Radio Network and the AFR Network, just a beautiful company of believers of every hue, melanin, just loving their family, loving their children, loving our God together, being able to worship together, being provoked, being convicted, being encouraged, being inspired to give it all for the King, man. It was a fantastic time. And I have to tell you that prior to the conference, I had not been in any conversations with anybody concerning any plans for there to be, you know, an annual thing or things of that nature. But all of the attendees that I talked to, man, they were talking about, I can't wait for next year. I was like, whoa. Next year. But we'll see what happens with that. But it was a grand time. It is certainly one that I will mark as a highlight. I mean, from everybody, Ryan Baumberger, Stacey Washington, Dr. Clarence Shuler. I mean, it was amazing teaching, amazing fellowship. Man, it was great. It was absolutely great. And if you missed it, well, I guess you need to start praying now for the Lord to visit us with a second one and make this an annual deal. But it was a great, great time, a fantastic time. Got to meet people who I've seen comment on the Facebook Live feed or on the Cherubin on UrbanFamilyTalk.com. This is not hyperbole. You know, sometimes people come and say, oh, it was a great event, just to fill space. No, it really, really was. The best way to describe it, it was soul nourishing, in my opinion. It was soul nourishing. So thank you for all who attended, who shared. We even had a reception afterwards. You know, it was a smaller gathering of the people just spending time together. Man, it was great. It was great. So I enjoyed myself thoroughly, and I'm so glad everybody who came were able to participate. And we'll see, man. This may become something we do more than once, so we'll see what happens. Well, as it is our custom, we will begin with the Word of God, and we'll start in the New Testament. And I had one scripture that we're going to go to. The main text is going to be 2 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. But I just wanted to tell you how this all came to the fore of my mind and my heart. And I'm still chewing on some of this in my personal devotional time. I read in 2 Corinthians, and it's just one verse, in verse 17, and it says this, and this is the Apostle Paul writing after he had contrasted himself and his ministry and his willingness to work with his hands with other ministers. And he already dealt with a lot of the categories of false teachers and things of that nature. But then he made this statement, verse 17, for we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Now, man, that struck me for so many reasons. Here the Apostle Paul is highlighting the fact that there are people who they're not purporting to offer some strange content. They are purporting to represent, to teach, and to present God's word, but they do so from an insincere heart condition. They do so as peddlers, as salesmen, as shucksters, as hustlemen, as hustlers. Now, they're purporting to share God's word, but they do so as salesmen. And it made me think, in order for there to be a sale, they cannot only be a seller, they have to be a buyer. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to read this. There's so much in this text, as usual, but I want to share this, verses 1 through 7, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 7. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to his disciple and understudy Timothy, and he says this, I charge you, Timothy, by implication all of those who would become preachers and teachers of God's word subsequently, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living, or the King James says, the quick and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready or instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Or the King James says there, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves. They will heap up for themselves teachers to suit their own lusts, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths or fables. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So I'll start at the beginning. Well, and I'll go right to verse 2 to hurry up. And the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in these days right now. This is not a forecast for some far-off time in the future. This is a description of what we're living in right now. And so this is the Apostle Paul charging young Timothy to preach the word of God. This encouragement about be ready or be instant, in season and out of season. Brothers and sisters, all of those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are, every single one of us are called into ministry. The only variants or differences are which particular vein of ministry are we called to. We are all members of his body. There are no big I's or little U's. Some of us are called to be pulpit expositors. Some of us are called to be dinner table expositors. Some of us are called to be roadway expositors. Interstate expositors, diner expositors, you name it. We're all called to be teachers of God's word. Teaching doesn't require a particular background. We're all called to teach and to be ministers of the gospel. This encouragement to be instant, in season and out of season is a teaching that I've taken to heart, that I study God's word not to preach a sermon. I don't study God's word to go and teach somebody else. I study God's word to consume it for myself. I read God's word to be sharpened, to be quickened, to be convicted, to be cut personally. And because of God's word being life to me as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, it produces the results that if and when the time arises to communicate to someone else, I am sharing what I have consumed. I'm not selling something that I have not bought myself. See, when the Apostle Paul identifies these peddlers in 2 Corinthians, he's identifying them as shucksters and salesmen. They are not teaching from what they have consumed. They are making a presentation. They are making speeches using God's word. And if you listen and the Spirit of God indwells you as you grow in the Lord, you can kind of tell when someone is sharing with you what they have been shaped by, as opposed to just offering pithy sayings, you know, some alliteration, rhythm and rhyme and putting it on time. In 2018, we're going to make sure it's clean, that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Be instant, in season and out of season. As a result of being a consumer of God's word, it enables you not to be a faker when you are conveying it publicly. Why? Because if you are a consumer of God's word privately, the word of God searches you. It's hard to push away from the feasting table that is God's word without being quickened, without being convicted first. So in order to be instant in season and out of season, we have to be consumers of his word for our own benefit first and foremost. But then it goes on with affirmative instruction. All of our preaching of God's word has to include aspects of this at some point. Reproof, rebuke, and exhortation. Preaching that is only exhortation, but we never get to the reproving and rebuking, we're probably out of balance. Preaching and teaching that is only reproving and rebuking does not include exhortation is probably out of balance. And all of it must be done with all long suffering, with complete patience, knowing how patient Jesus is with us. Let me go on. The presentation of the rebuke, reproof, and exhortation with all long suffering and with a D word that's not a dirty word, doctrine. Doctrine is not a bad word. Doctrine is a beautiful word. Let me hurry up because I'm trying to get somewhere. Verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, and this is the thing I want to kind of spend a few moments on, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own lusts or passions. Now, we know there's lots of conversation in our day and our time about false teachers, but this is one of those questions, the chicken or the egg, which the world would say is a difficult question. But if somebody asks you what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know, based on the historical, the history provided to us in the scripture, that the chicken came first. Because eggs can't produce themselves. Well, the question here, false teachers, what came first? The false teachers or the itching ears? Because brothers and sisters, I'm going to say something here that certainly may not be comfortable to hear. But I believe the scripture reveals that the elevation of false teachers is actually judgment from God on those whose passions require peddling with God's word. Because remember, Paul says that the days are coming when those who have the itching ears, so this condition of itching ears predates the accumulation of the false teaching. The itching ears precedes the accumulation of those teachers who are willing to scratch that ear that itches with the platitudes and, I would say, the wrangling and the abuse of God's word that fits those ears that are itching. It's kind of why, and I'm not against as a rule, I'm not saying that large churches are bad, but I am asking the question, how do we evaluate whether or not we are effective as a body of Christ? Can we accomplish the task of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry in big groups like we are supposed to? The question that I'm asking is, could it be, and I believe that the scripture lays this out plainly, that the accumulation of false teachers develops because there are people whose hearts have gotten so cold to sound doctrine that they are requiring peddlers who will scratch the itch that they already have. I mean, let me give an example. Paul is talking to Timothy about false teaching and itching ears, and he says this to this would-be teacher of the gospel. Endure suffering. Now, how many people, when they're preparing to become ministers of the gospel, that they're having conversations about suffering? How many people today? How many people who would be followers of Jesus Christ are willing to endure the reality that Jesus said, any who desires to live holy, live godly, will endure persecution? Not many people want to hear that. All I'm saying is, if we're going to decry the reality of false teaching, we probably should decry the itching ears as well.
Abortion needs a waiting period in Florida. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Liberty Counsel filed an amicus brief supporting a 24-hour waiting period for women considering an abortion. The Florida Supreme Court delayed the law and returned it back to the trial court for a ruling. This law is in the best interest of girls and women. It is within the standard practice for significant medical procedures. Liberty Counsel's clients have extensive experience with young women who have been affected by abortion. The long-term effects are obvious. The physical, psychological, and emotional consequences of abortion show that a 24-hour waiting period is necessary to protect the health and well-being of young women. This law was introduced and championed by an alumni of Liberty Counsel's Covenant Journey program. Join me in praying for this bill and for the women and unborn children in Florida. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website. Visit lc.org. That's lc.org.
Imagine you're back to school shopping and your little girl comes running from the restroom in tears saying she saw a man in there. Sadly, scenes like this are playing out at Target stores across the country. Their policy is to allow men into women's restrooms and fitting areas. If some of us don't stand up and say this is wrong, what comes next? Protect your family and send Target a message by doing your back-to-school shopping elsewhere. Learn more and sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. A beautiful but naive young couple, Jay Austin and Laura Gogan, set out on a round-the-world bike trip to prove that the world is not a big, scary place because evil is only a make-believe concept and people are basically generous and wonderful and kind. Their theory was put to the ultimate test when they rode through Tajikistan, a country controlled by the devout Muslim fundamentalists of ISIS. An ISIS-driven car plowed directly into them, and then five jihadis piled out of the car and knifed them to death. Muhammad commanded his devotees to slay the idolaters wherever you find them. This couple found out too late that many Muslims take this command seriously. More proof that Islam is not, in fact, a religion of peace.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Time to get to the foolishness du jour. Many of you heard about the Me Too movement, and one of its earliest and most vocal proponents was the Italian actress by the name of Asia Argento. Some of you may even recall, as I'm saying that, you're like, I remember her name for a reason, because she gave an impassioned, and I would even add, a powerful speech decrying those Hollywood executives and others who had taken advantage of young female aspiring actresses. I guess female and actresses are redundant terms. I'll try to clean that up going forward. Thank you to those who want to check my vocabulary and grammatical usage. Thank you. I checked it myself in my head. As well as she also rebuked those enablers within the Hollywood community, those who knew what was going on and didn't say anything to allow this culture to permeate. We're all familiar with the term, the casting couch. And she gave an impassioned plea at the Cannes Film Festival back in May. That's just 3 months ago, a few months ago. And just to remind you of the tone and tenor of that speech, I have a little bit of audio for you from that speech. If you would, Jeff, please play clip number 4.
I have a few words to say. In 1997, I was raped by Harvey Weinstein here at Cannes. I was 21 years old. This festival was his hunting ground. I want to make a prediction. Harvey Weinstein will never be welcomed here ever again. He will live in disgrace, shunned by a film community that once embraced him and covered up for his crimes. And even tonight, sitting among you, there are those who still have to be held accountable for their conduct against women, for a behavior that does not belong in this industry, does not belong in any industry or workplace. You know who you are. But most importantly, we know who you are. And we're not going to allow you to get away with it any longer.
Now, one of the strongest words she said, or phrases she said in that speech was that these abusers must be held accountable. And she was one of the first among dozens of women who revealed the atrocities they suffered at the hands of Harvey Weinstein. And I, for one, am grateful that Harvey Weinstein's disgusting behavior off camera was exposed. But I made the statement then, if for those of us who live according to the word of God and we see scripture, it's kind of hard for us to perceive the smut that we see displayed on camera as merely being, you know, imaginary. I mean, this comes from the minds and hearts of somebody. You know, when it's out of the abundance of the heart that these wicked people create this smut. Well, it turns out that it is the same Asia Argento who gave such an impassioned speech at the Cannes Film Festival just in May of this year, a few months ago. It turns out she has been, I'll say it this way, has been accused of sexually abusing a 17-year-old young man, and also, and it's hard for me as a lawyer to say allegedly for this part, because this is not allegedly, there are documents that show that after being accused through a lawsuit filed by a young man by the name of Jimmy Bennett, that Asia Argento paid $380,000 to settle this sexual harassment lawsuit. Now, what are the allegations here? Well, Jimmy Bennett is a young man who was a childhood actor, and he broke into the film industry as a young child. Daddy Daycare was one of his first films. But he also played in a movie, and this is the irony of the name of this film is inescapable. Jimmy Bennett played in a film with Asia Argento, with Asia Argento playing the character of his mother. He is a 7-year-old boy. And the name of the film that they acted on together, and this is a fact, folks, the name of the film was The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things. That's the name of the movie that Asia Argento was in with Jimmy Bennett as a 7-year-old. Well, things progressed to where back in 2013, that Asia Argento had a reunion of sorts with Jimmy Bennett. And the allegations are, and I know, and we say allegations, but these are the allegations that were in the lawsuit where Jimmy Bennett sued Asia Argento for $3.5 million. She settled the lawsuit for $380,000. The allegations in the lawsuit were that Asia Argento and Jimmy Bennett had a reunion when Argento was a 37-year-old woman. Jimmy Bennett was a 17-year-old young man where they met in the Ritz-Carlton in Marina Del Rey, California. Jimmy Bennett had come with family members. Asia Argento asked the family members to leave so that she could be alone with Jimmy Bennett. I won't go into the spurious details, but it is at that point to where the allegations are Asia Argento pushed Jimmy Bennett onto the bed and sexually assaulted him. The lawsuit alleges, again, now this lawsuit was settled in 2013. I want us to keep that at the forefront of our minds. The lawsuit alleges that Jimmy Bennett was so distraught as a result of the assault because the age for legal consent for physical activity, y'all know what I'm talking about, in California was 18 years old and is 18 years old today. So here we have Jimmy Bennett and Asia Argento from the film The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things. That's the film that they acted in together. They often refer to one another as mommy and son. There are pictures that corroborate the fact that the two of them were together on that particular date in 2013 in the Ritz-Carlton in Marina Del Rey, California. Pictures of them together, the whole deal. And the two actors, an actor and actress from The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things. Folks, can't make this stuff up. And that incident in 2013, for which Asia Argento had already settled, I guess she forgot about when she gave this speech at the Cannes Film Festival. And I'm going to play this audio again for you. And I'm going to ask Jeff to pause it at certain points throughout it. Because in light of this information that you have now, let's listen again to her speech at the Cannes Film Festival.
I have a few words to say. In 1997, I was raped by Harvey Weinstein.
Pause it 1 second there. It could be said, in 2013, Jimmy Bennett was raped by Asia Argento. Keep playing it.
Here at Cannes, I was 21 years old. This festival was his hunting ground.
Pause again. It could be said that in 2013, Jimmy Bennett was 17 years old, and the film, The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things, was her hunting ground. Keep playing it.
I want to make a prediction. Harvey Weinstein will never be welcomed here ever again.
Pause it. Will Asia Argento be welcomed at the Cannes Film Festival? I mean, and I'm going somewhere with the commentary on this particular thing, but you have to wonder what's really going on for her to be able to make this impassioned plea a few months ago, knowing not only what she was accused of, but what she paid nearly $400,000 to make go away. Keep playing.
He will live in disgrace, shunned by a film community that once embraced him and covered up for his crimes.
Pause it again. Will Asia Argento live in disgrace? Keep going.
And even tonight, sitting among you, there are those who still have to be held accountable for their conduct against women.
Big pause. Has Asia been held accountable for her conduct against Jimmy Bennett? I mean, all of this stuff is in the works. Keep playing.
For a behavior that does not belong in this industry, does not belong in any industry or workplace. You know who you are. But most importantly, we know who you are. And we're not going to allow you to get away with it any longer.
Now, this is a tragic, tragic circumstance, because this is the same Asia Argento who... her boyfriend was Anthony Bourdain, who recently committed suicide. But it really, folks, it underscores the reality of several things. One, Hollywood is as corrupt as what's displayed on the screen. And you know, I'm a relatively young guy. I understand that, you know, nobody wants to be, out of whatever. But all I'm saying, and I'm going to say this pretty emphatically here. The time has come for the body of Christ to be comfortable with being peculiar, man. What I'm telling you, the stuff that these people are putting on these screens, I'm not telling anybody else to do so, but my family and I, we got rid of our Netflix subscription, because when you see the things that are pornographic, child pornography that's being displayed, the creation of series like 13 Reasons Why, all of the nasty films Harvey Weinstein created, the nasty films that Asia Argento has starred in, the nasty films that all of these other people and folks, it's because they're nasty. I'm just telling you, we can try to dance around it and act like that's not the case. And so the question that I have for us, getting back to the initial biblical conversation we were having about having itching ears, accumulating teachers to tell us what we want to hear because of our own lusts. What do you think is going to happen to you when you consume these things en masse? The reality is the film industry is just that, an industry. They won't continuously create what we won't watch. So the truth is, we're watching it. The truth is, though we may not want to, and we may not engage in the activity that these folks are doing, you know, how many people are watching the trash like 50 Shades of Grey? How many people are watching this trash? And all I'm saying that the body of Christ has to get to the place to where we are peculiar, where we recognize, just like I was saying about the teaching. It's not that we're turning off the TVs, and that's how this ministry even started, turning off the TVs, canceling the Netflix subscriptions and other things because we're trying to prove something to somebody else. I'm doing that because I value my own soul. I'm doing that because I cherish my own spirit and my family's spirit, my children's purity, my wife's purity, my own purity. Hollywood, folks, is overcome in debauchery. I'm not anti-entertainment. I'm not anti-having a good time. I enjoy my life. In fact, I enjoy my life so much, I often say out loud to myself and pinch myself, "Ooh, Lord, all this and heaven too." That's how good life is. I enjoy my life. But I have no tolerance, no room, no patience for the smut that they're selling. So here you have Asia Argento pointing the finger at Harvey Weinstein, and he deserves it. He deserves it. He's a disgusting man. But Asia Argento, you're a disgusting woman. I'm just going to tell it like it is. And so if you're asking me if it's okay to watch, no, it's not okay to watch. No, it's not okay to consume this trash. What I am saying is that the body of Christ, our walls are down. Our defenses have been overcome. That as the Proverbs say, that we have become a defenseless city. We have all sorts, all manner of wickedness happening in the body of Christ, and much of it is occurring because we're trying to keep up with the world with consuming the smut that the Hollywood people are purveying. You don't want to be on the outside looking in around the water cooler, not having watched the newest reality television series. We don't want to be the only ones who don't know what happened at the so-called whatever award show, whatever other trash is happening. We don't need that trash. So why do we continue to play with it? Why continue to dance around it and to dabble with it? Could it be, as with the itching ears, could it be because there's something inside of us that we have not yet crucified, that we have not yet laid on the altar, that we have not yet submitted to Christ, that continually draws us to these things? If we are walking with him, we have to get to the place where we're no longer attracted to these things. And we have the conversations about because of illegal immigration, and I support building the wall on the southern border, but guess what I support even more? Building a wall around my house. I refuse to allow these things to destroy us. And so my encouragement is, when we see this, and again, Harvey Weinstein should be called out and everybody like him. But don't think for a moment that perversion is exclusively a male domain, because it's not. It's not. It's not. The time has come. These things are being exposed over and over and over again. So what is it going to take for us to get to the place, like Joshua declared at the end of, in Joshua chapter 24, as for me and my house, man, we're going to serve the Lord. Part of serving the Lord includes what we consume. If we won't engage in it, how then are we entertained by it? And we know what Jesus said already. You've heard it said to do this is adulterous, but to look upon. Jesus upped the ante, the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And so I want to say, much like someone should have advised Asia Argento before she mounted the Cannes Film Festival stage, before we go around pointing the finger, so to speak, about what everybody else is doing, my encouragement is, have we built the wall around our own hearts? In mind, what are we consuming? Are we propping up the smut peddlers from Hollywood?
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, the very first day in Israel, when we're staying in Jerusalem, we go to the Mount of Olives. And it's there at the Mount of Olives we look out over the old city of Jerusalem. It's a spectacular sight. You've seen it in pictures before, but it's another thing to actually be there as we walk down from the Mount of Olives to the Garden of Gethsemane and we pray there. It's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country visiting the Holy Land, the land of Jesus. If you want information on this March 14th through the 22nd tour, just call us and we'll send you a brochure. Call 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5, and leave us your name and your address and we'll mail you a brochure. Or if you want to simply go online at twholyland.com, everything's there, twholyland.com.
Len Ingram of Redeem Clean felt God call him to support the American Family Association.
I'm a laundry man. I'm the son of a laundry man, too. I love clean clothes. I love the business. I love everything about it. This project was built exclusively to support AFA and AFR. There's no strings attached. Another thing that I would like to see come out of this is that I would like to see other business people feel a calling to support ministries, wherever and whatever they do to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and get Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. A group of devil worshipers wants to erect a satanic goat statue on the front lawn of the Arkansas State Capitol. I wish I was kidding with you, America, but it's the truth. The Satanic Temple displayed a giant version of the statue during a rally in Little Rock. They say it's only fair that state lawmakers install their statue permanently, since there's already a statue of the Ten Commandments, but that's not going to happen. The Ten Commandments statue was installed because of legislation signed into law by the governor, and the Supreme Court ruled in a separate case that government is not required to erect any sort of monument. The Satanic Temple wants to join a religious discrimination lawsuit against Arkansas brought by the American Civil Liberties Union. Well, to quote State Senator Jason Rapert, it'll be a cold day and you know where before the good people of Arkansas erect a monument honoring a satanic goat. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Listen, folks, and I hope nobody misconstrues what I'm saying, because first of all, I don't think I'm better than anybody else. You know, before we cut our Netflix subscription, there were some shows on Netflix I enjoyed. There were some things that I thought were good, man. There were some good things. But it just got to the place to where there was so many different things. I was like, what in the world is going on? You know, and I just got to the place. I was like, man, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to be a part of this. And I don't want to contribute my, you know, 12, 13 bucks a month, whatever it was, to continually allowing them to develop these programs. You know, we have, you know, for example, many of us who, well, not many of us, I won't say this. You have, on one hand, you have the people that are saying, well, you know, we want to uphold the dignity of people and different things. And yet, some of the most popular televisions on TV are, you know, Real Housewives of whatever, you know, Real Housewives of New Jersey, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Love and Hip Hop, you know, when they aren't doing anything but portraying complete smut and tripe. And so my desire is to urge those who are listening to this program to, as you're hearing me, and hear me well on this, I'm not saying that because of what I'm talking about in this today on this program, that you now go home and do what I've done. What I'm saying is that I invite you to bring your entertainment preferences before the Lord and allow the Lord to search you by his spirit and through his word to see whether or not there may be the need for some adjustment. Because what happens with all human beings, we become desensitized as a result of consistent overexposure. You know, nowadays, a lot of us have a hard time even defining what's inappropriate in a pornographic sense because we live in a pornographied culture. You know, I remember when I was living in Houston, Texas, at one point there was the Abercrombie and Fitch store. It wasn't enough for them to have mannequins. They hired real live people to walk around the Galleria Mall with, you know, underwear on. Young ladies, you know? And it's like, that's not appropriate. But because of the continual exposure, we become desensitized. And we don't know how to navigate. We will open the phone lines this segment. If you want to be a part of the program, you're welcome to call 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. Anything we've discussed during the program today is fair game. You're open. We're open to have the conversation about whatever we've discussed today. I mean, I remember I had a conversation with a person a while back about the show Empire. And it was specifically, I never watched the show. The person was telling me about an episode where one of the main characters, I don't know the guy's name, and Alicia Keys, I only know her name because she's a musician, but Alicia Keys is playing a role of a woman who's interested in this music artist, but the artist happens to be a homosexual man, but she and the homosexual man end up having a physical relationship. And she's going on, and I stopped and said, wait, what did you just say? She said, well, yeah, the guy, you know, he normally likes guys, but in this particular episode, and I'm saying, don't you realize one of the greatest sources of transmission of HIV viruses and sexually transmitted infections and diseases is men who are homosexuals, but they're having sex with women. And she just, and it was a woman, she drove right by that point to even realize that. And the thing is, because a lot of these shows are well-written, they're well put together, and so we didn't even realize that we're ingesting poison because it's wrapped in chocolate. It's chocolate-covered poison. And we're just ingesting it, not recognizing that, man, this is killing us. This is killing us. I'll get off of that for a moment. I meant to get on Al Sharpton for a moment right now. Al Sharpton was on MSNBC. And what do you think he was doing in MSNBC? Of course he was. He was bashing Trump. That's what he was doing. Well, in the course of bashing President Trump, he attempted to use a tribute to the recently deceased singer Aretha Franklin. And he was trying to kind of sideswipe President Trump, but he kind of hit a hiccup in doing so. Please play clip number one.
You might have learned a lesson this week. Sometimes the dog bites back with a book deal. So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T. Ow. And the next time you get a black woman and a beagle confused, remember this, I got you.
The race hustler himself, Al Sharpton, shows that in addition to having a penchant for manufacturing crises, he also has, I'll say it like this, an epidemic aversion for spelling bees. Wow. And that, the thing that blew me away with this, and of course, people make mistakes. That's understandable. But the thing that blew me away with this is that these shows are produced, put together, wrapped with a bow tie, I mean, wrapped with a tied bow with a teleprompter. So I'm asking myself, did Al Sharpton misread the E? Or did they type in an I instead of, I mean, who don't know? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Everybody knows that. And he's trying to slam President Trump. But in the process, he put some respect on his name. To the phone line we go. To the phone lines we go. First, we will go to, let me see here. We'll first go to Joe, who is calling. I don't know where Joe is calling from, but Joe, welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Thank you for calling the program.
Hey.
Go right ahead, Joe.
Court, Mississippi.
All right. Go right ahead, Joe.
All right. Basically, what you were saying about, you know, the false doctrines at the beginning of the show,
mm-hmm.
I do believe that. I do believe that, generally speaking, you know, all temptation comes from higher. But this one, a little bit more specifically, look at
Joe, I got to disconnect. We have a bad connection. I don't know what's going on there, but I couldn't hear you clearly in what you were saying. I'm so sorry. If we can get a better connection, maybe, Joe, you can call back, and we can try to get back to you. Maybe call back tomorrow. I don't know if we're going to have enough time to get back to you today. But we'll go next to Arkansas, where Richard is on the line. Richard, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thanks for what you do. No, I was just going to say, as far as the Netflix thing, I don't have to ask anybody. It's obvious to everybody that they're peddling filth. And you know, there's already been girls commit suicide from the 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
We're going to cancel it.
Yeah.
We're going to cancel it. I'm not going to support something like that. It's just, for lack of a better word, it's essentially demonic is what it is.
Yeah. Richard, thank you for your call and your comments. And that's the thing, folks. It's not the type of thing, like Richard said, do we really need somebody else to tell us that? And what's happening is that our capacity for discernment is being eroded by overexposure and the resulting desensitization to things that are rank filth. And so what ends up happening is it's kind of like going nose blind, right? If you, sports references always pop into my head. You know, when I'm used to my odious post-basketball practice aroma, it's hard for me to feel like my smell could be offensive. But somebody else who walks into my room who did not spend as much time as I did in the gym, the first thing they do upon crossing the threshold is go, "Ew, Abe, you got to do something about this." And my concern is that the body of Christ has become nose blind to where there's overexposure to the odious aroma of post-basketball attire combined with a desire to want to be accepted and embraced by the world, to where we don't recognize when we need to make a transition. And I think it's hindering us tremendously. Back to the phone lines we go. Next to Kentucky, where David is on the line. David, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Abraham. And I just want to say I so much appreciate what you do and what you talk about and just the uncommon common sense that you bring. I'm just tracking with you. My story is quite the same. We just got rid of Netflix about a month and a half ago. And like you said, there's a lot of good stuff on there, but I got kids and you can't always block everything out. And the influences, a lot of stuff they have on there about the drag queens,
yeah,
and the gay lifestyle.
Yeah.
And with my son, I'm having to, you know, there's an issue with him on that, and I'm having to filter that, and having that on the TV doesn't help. And even with the antenna, we have an antenna now, and he wants to watch like SUV, the one about the sex crimes and stuff. I said, no, that's just not good, because he's been so desensitized, mm-hmm, and it's been difficult to help him to discern what is good and what is bad. And so we have to pull back. We have to pull way back and protect him, because the world is not going to do it for us. The networks are not going to do it for us. And so it is a battle wherever we go to try to keep purity. I mean, I think a big problem with what's going on in the church today, you can get it in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. We're conforming to this world. You got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I don't think on a regular basis people are trying to renew their mind.
Well said, David. We've got to leave it right there. First of all, I want to commend you on being willing to do that. And I want to just, for a very brief moment, say to those who are listening to me and saying, maybe some conviction is coming from this program, and you're saying, man, I've gone too far. I've messed up. Listen, one of the best lessons we can offer our children, if we have children in the home still, is to show them what repentance looks like. If we have missed the mark, man, let's have the humility and the integrity that's necessary. Say, man, listen, little Johnny, little Jenny, I've missed it. I should have been on guard against these certain things. I missed it completely. But guess what? We're going to make an adjustment now. And that is a lesson that is worth it for their benefit, but also your own benefit. Your own benefit. Back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Tennessee, where Shane is on the line. Shane, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Abraham. I just want to say I appreciate everything you're doing and all the topics you're talking about. You know, I just wanted to agree with what you're saying and everybody else is saying. My wife and I, young couple, we canceled Netflix about a month or so ago just because of all the trash and everything that was on there. And so, you know, we've actually felt a lot of difference in our relationship because we haven't been on watching as much Netflix. We felt more connected and everything like that. So, you know, there is even some younger people out there doing the listen to what you're saying. So just keep on doing the good work.
Mm. Thank you very much for your call and your comments, Shane. Very, very well said. Very well done. And I appreciate exactly what you're saying. And listen, it's not by chance that this is the culture. Many of you know, week before last, I was at an event with young people, and the conversation came up with these young people, in particular, the young men. We were discussing the rampant usage of pornography. You know, it's everywhere because it is everywhere, you know, and so we have to, that's the new thing, I just thought about that today, build the wall around our homes spiritually. We have to do that. But back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Mississippi, where Jim is on the line. Jim, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
I appreciate it. And Mr. Hamilton, I appreciate all you do. And one of the biggest convictions that ever came through you for me was some months back when you used that phrase of what you,
what you tolerate?
Condone changes and eventually corrupts and condemns.
Yes.
And it's got to where I've taken that within my own heart, within my own family. And it's gotten me to where I understand we will never have reconciliation, no matter how much we're hammered about loving everybody. We will never have a reconciliation on this side of heaven. And we need to stand firm. Mm.
Thank you for your call and your comments, Jim. We'll go next to the great state of Texas, where Gina is on the line. Gina, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Abe. Thank you for everything you do. I just wanted to actually go one step further. I think one of the problems with our culture today is, quote-unquote, entertainment in and of itself. When you go back, we haven't had TV and cable or anything in our home for 20 years. When you go back and you study how our founders, and even just 100 years ago, how people raised their children and how they were, they didn't have time for entertainment. Mm. They read a lot of good books, including the classics and the Bible every day. Mm-hmm. And if they weren't reading or playing music, they were out working in the yard or the garden or the farm or whatever. And that, I think, is the root of our problem. We have too much time for, quote unquote, entertainment and not enough time for God. And for just sustaining ourselves when the time will come when we're not going to want to buy anything off the grocery shelf because it's so polluted or anything from the media because it's so polluted. We need to get back to our roots of God-given, God's entertainment.
Thank you, Gina, for your call and your comments. Listen, and I hope everybody's clear. Netflix is not the only source. I am not attempting to superintend the role of the Holy Spirit to tell you what you should do in your home, but I do invite you take reconsideration, and if you are sensing conviction, do not resist the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for tuning in to today's program.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.